Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to read the first three verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So I want to address the young people, children, to begin with in particular, although this passage has implications for all of us, children or adults. But to the young people, to children, it's never too early. It's never too early to start living a Christian life. We baptize children, baptize infants, because we recognize them as part of the church, as part of the kingdom. And indeed, this passage right here is strong evidence that we ought to regard them as such. So children, obey your parents in the Lord. And indeed, fathers are called to bring their children up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That speaks of that shared covenant relationship, fellow Christians in the Lord. Now, every sermon that we preach ought to be meaningful, of course, to all of us, no matter how young, ought to be meaningful to children as well as adults. But we want to address children, all of you as children specifically today. You don't just suddenly turn 18 and become an adult. Or hit some magical age where you suddenly transition from immature childishness to mature adulthood. Things you do that are cute when you're 5 will get you thrown in jail when you're 30. And at some point in your life, young people, you will have to decide to change. You will have to decide to mature and grow up. And it's never too early to listen to the Word of God and to start growing in wisdom, to start seeking after wisdom. What is wisdom? How do you gain wisdom? You know, you can learn a lot of things. You can go to a lot of school. You can read a lot of books without ever gaining any wisdom. And indeed, there are many highly educated people that have no wisdom at all. And there are also people who have never set foot in a classroom a day of their lives and are yet very, very wise people. Because you learn wisdom from God. He is the one that will tell you what the world is for, what the purpose of the world is, and what the purpose of a human being is. And you can learn wisdom very early. It is never too early. We have testimony of very young people in the Scriptures. People like Samuel, David, Mary, who were young, probably teenagers or much younger, when they were called to respond to the Lord in wisdom. And the sooner you learn wisdom, the sooner you start seeking after wisdom, young people, the more trouble you'll avoid in your life. So listen. Now, Paul speaks directly to children in the congregations here. Well, what counts as a child? Standards vary. Of course, now people can stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26 years old. We have very different standards for what counts as a minor today than used to be the case. In the days that Paul was writing, a young person would begin their trade, maybe be living on their own by the time they were 15, 16, 17 years old, be apprenticed out to someone. They would go to war. Girls especially might be very likely to marry by the time they were 15 or 16 or so. Kids stay in their home longer these days, and maybe there's good reason for that. Society is awfully complex. But while you live in your parents' home, you owe them obedience. Because your father is responsible to God to govern his home in a way that, in the way that God calls him to. And so if you are going to live in your parents' home, you owe them obedience. Although, of course, what that obedience looks like for a 16-year-old is going to look different than that obedience would look like for a 6-year-old. Nonetheless, we're called to obey our parents, and for children to obey their parents. And children, recognize, Paul is talking to you and he's calling you to do this. And that tells us something important. That tells us that you have a choice. You have a choice whether or not to obey your parents. Your parents can force you to obey when you're very small, but you don't have to be very old before you can fight them if you choose to do so. Your parents can punish you, they can reward you, they can scream at you and yell at you or try and reason with you, try and convince you. But Paul is telling you to choose to obey. A home can be a place of love and kindness and harmony, or a home can be a war zone. And a lot of that is going to depend on whether children choose to obey their parents or not. He tells you to obey your parents first in the Lord. As I mentioned earlier, just like the other duties that God gives us that Paul has discussed here in Ephesians, you obey your parents as part of your duty to God. In thankfulness for his salvation, Christ has saved us from our sins. Christ has forgiven us. He's now delivering us from this sinful world. He has given us these great promises. And he's promised that he is going to work all of those things out in our lives. And one of the key ways that he works his salvation out in our lives is through our parents. And so he calls on you to obey your parents as part of your submission to God's plan for sanctifying you and completing the salvation in you that he has begun. And for most Christian children, in fact, probably something like 90% for the last 2,000 years, your parents were the beginning of your Christian walk. They taught you the Bible. They told you about Jesus, about God. They brought you to church to teach you about Christianity. Some parents do a better job of that, and some parents a worse job. But nonetheless, to one degree or another, most Christians that have ever lived grew up in some kind of Christian home. Converts from outside in complete paganism, completely unchurched, that never heard of God, is actually fairly rare and always has been. The Christian home is one of the key ways that God has always preserved and spread his church. And so then, obeying your parents is obeying God. Not that your parents are God, not that your parents are perfect. Of course they're not. And any of you that have reached about age 8 or so, or even younger, start to see your parents' faults just fine. Nonetheless, your parents are a key way that God seeks to work his salvation out in your life. Their Christian instruction, even though imperfect, will lead you to Christ. And Paul adds, this is right. He says, parents, obey your children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Right means, there it means, he doesn't mean just the correct thing to do. He means it's appropriate. He means it's according to the natural order. The reason you have life at all is because of your parents. God used your parents to bring you into this world. They've cared for you since before you could do anything at all for yourself. They sacrificed and they worked so that you could have life. And it's the proper order of things. That children respond to that truth by doing what their parents tell them. And we never do ourselves good when we fight against the natural order of things. God set things up the way He does for a reason, for a purpose. God is not arbitrary. God is not a fool. And so, He provides for children. He provides for their well-being and for their caring through their parents, very typically. And the natural response that children ought to have to that is to obey their parents. Because the family is the building block, the proper building block of all of society. The health of any given society will be in large part determined by the health of its families. And that's true of every society that has ever existed or will exist. Without strong families, human community cannot exist. And this is the way God has set up the world to work. There are always some who try and overthrow God's providence for human society, who think that we can get along just fine without families, or even that families are a net negative, they're a bad thing, and try and break them down. Say it's just as good for children to be born out of wedlock. People don't get married at all. We'll just trust the government to provide for us. These sorts of things you hear people say. No human society can survive for long, though, without a stable and good environment for the next generation to be raised. And in God's providence, the normal way, the best way, the most appropriate way for that to happen is through the very parents that give birth to those children. When we're born into our families, therefore, we're called to honor God's plan for human society by honoring and obeying our parents. Every single child that is born, every one of you young people, is a unique and special individual. It's really true. Every one of you has talents and gifts that will be a great blessing to people. It'll be a great blessing to the communities that you're part of, whether the church, the neighborhood, the town, the country. But getting you to that level of maturity without something going wrong, that's the tricky part. You know, in the animal kingdom, lots of animals, they just have lots of babies and throw them out into the world and a whole bunch of them die and a few of them survive and that's fine. Some animals give their children some very basic, they'll teach their children, their offspring a few things before they get, let them get going, before they push them out of the nest. Human beings are different though. Human beings need a lot of years. To be ready to function fully as an adult. And partly that's because human beings are so much more than animals. Our minds are so incredibly complex, capable of such amazing things. And because of that, our minds need a lot of years to mature and are dependent and helpless for a lot of those years. Human beings are fundamentally incapable of surviving on their own for years after they are born. There are a lot of things you need to know, young people, in order to survive in the world. You need to learn how to handle money, how to make a living, how to keep yourself healthy. You need to know how to get along with other people. You need to know how to care for yourself spiritually, how to learn the basics of feeding yourself from the Word of God. Physically, you need to mature to adulthood, which takes years. God gave you parents to teach you the beginnings of all of these things. And God did something really remarkable and amazing. That He biologically programmed parents to love their children in order to provide for that. So that, as Jesus says, even an evil man knows to give good things to his children. And parents sacrifice a huge amount of money, of time, of energy to raise you children. And the way you are called to respond to that sacrifice that your parents make for you is by cheerfully honoring and obeying them. what they tell you to do. If you obey them, see, then you have the best chance to learn the things that you need to learn from them. How to survive and do well in the world. If you don't listen to them, if you don't listen to your parents, then you cut yourself off from the best chance that you have to learn some useful things. You cut yourself off from the most readily available source of knowledge that you have to provide you with the knowledge that you need to succeed in the world. It will be very rare, young people, that you will ever find anybody in your life who loves you as much as your parents do, who will be willing to sacrifice the time and energy to teach you the things that you need to know. As an adult, you will have to pay a lot of money to get people to teach you the things that your parents teach you for free. But you have to listen to them. The proverb says over and over and over again, the importance of listening to your parents, that the wise child will listen to his parents and he will succeed in life as a result. When you are an adult yourself, at that point, you will have the wisdom to look back on your parents' instruction and realize where they went wrong and the mistakes that they made and reject some of the things perhaps that they taught you. But your parents, no matter who they are, your parents have lived in this world a lot longer than you have. My father had a sign on his office wall that said, "We old folks know a lot more about being young than you young folks know about being old." And that should be immediately apparent to everyone, the truth of that statement. Even if your parents are fools, your parents have at least survived long enough in this world to give birth to you. And that's not nothing. There's no substitute for that kind of experience. And if you listen to them, then you can benefit a great deal from that experience. When they tell you to take out the trash, they're teaching you to contribute to the welfare of the whole family by keeping your living quarters clean. Keeping your living quarters clean is important. If you don't keep your house clean, you'll get diseases. You'll make yourself repulsive to your neighbors. You'll waste a great deal of your time and your life trying to get things done in a filthy environment. When they tell you that you have to study instead of playing video games or playing with your friends, that's not just because they're bitter old people who are jealous of your fun and trying to ruin your life. They're telling you that because they're teaching you to be diligent in your work, because they know that if you're not diligent in your work, if you don't defer pleasure until you get done the things that you need to get done, that you'll cause yourself a great deal of sorrow and hardship in your life. And you'll never accomplish anything. When they tell you to be kind to your siblings, not to hit them or call them names, they are teaching you to control your emotions. Not to simply react to whatever emotional response you have to circumstances. And there are very few more important lessons than that in life. They are teaching you to get along with other people, even when those other people are difficult. Because if you don't learn to get along with people when they are hard to get along with, you will have problems wherever you go and in whatever you do, because there are always difficult people around. And when they tell you no snacks before dinner, they're teaching you that not to simply take what you want all the time, but to wait for the proper time of things. And the ability to put off pleasure until the appropriate time is one of the most crucial things you can learn in life. Your home, young people, your home is the training ground for the rest of your life. And by God's grace and in His goodness, He provides that training ground for you to be received by from people who love you, who people who care about you, who want you to succeed, and are willing, therefore, to sacrifice a great deal in order for you to receive that instruction. And if you are wise, you will benefit from it. Kids often look forward to being on their own. They say to themselves, "I can't wait till I'm on my own and I can do whatever I want. And I won't get punished if I break a rule." Parents know, though, That the fact is that when you get out on your own, the consequences get much greater for the same behavior. Like I said, when you're out, the consequences for irresponsible get much bigger. Things that are cute or funny or just annoying when you're 5 or 6 years old will get you thrown in jail, fired from your job, or divorced when you're 30. And there's something very important that you need to hear as well. Our present culture, the way that it operates, there are many voices that you can listen to. And young people have unprecedented access to those voices through the internet, television, entertainment, school, and so forth. But young people, listen to me. The big bad wolf is real. And anyone who is trying to get you to listen to them instead of your parents, anyone who is trying to separate a child from his parents, that's not a good person. That's not a person who has good intentions for you. That is a predator. And so if you hear someone, if you're listening to some, if you're talking to someone who's telling you as a child that your parents are fools and they don't know and you should listen to them instead, if it's a teacher at school, if it's somebody on the internet, if it's a television show that you watch, recognize that person does not have good intentions for you. Paul goes on to quote the fifth commandment here. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It's obviously not the first commandment of the ten. What does that mean? Well, we think it's the fifth commandment. It's the first of the second table, the first of the commandments that talks about our duty towards our fellow man. It might mean that simply that it's the first commandment of the second table. Paul also might be saying that it's a key commandment. I personally think that's probably the way to understand what he's saying. In terms of our behavior, our life with our fellow man, the fifth commandment is absolutely key. And it contains a promise. It's so key that God promised to attach a promise directly to it. For a society to work, for a society to be stable, to function, it is vital that one generation respect and honor the generation that came before it. In the 60s and the 70s in this country, a whole generation of young people was taught to despise and hate their parents. And we ought to ask ourselves why that was done. Because it was done on purpose. And we're bearing the results, the evil consequences of that, even today. Because the fact is, any society that does not respect and value those that have come before them is not a society that will live very long. Not a society that will survive. And that's exactly what Paul refers to here in the first commandment. It says, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. And that's true of us as societies, and it's true of us as individuals as well. The world did not begin when we were born. We came into a fully functioning world, a very complex world, and in order to understand that world, in order to get along in that world, we have to know what it is. We have to know how it works. We have to learn from those that have come before. This commandment, of course, the fifth commandment was given to the Israelites. And we see in the Israelite nation exactly how important and relevant that is. They constantly face this problem of the children, the next generation, forgetting what God had done for the previous generation. Joshua's generation, and you can't just blame the parents. Because Joshua's generation that came out of the wilderness and came into the promised land was faithful and true and godly, probably the most faithful generation that we have record of in Israel. And their children forgot. They obeyed the word of God. And their children didn't. They forgot what God did for them. They forgot what God told them to do. And that generation, they built the monuments and they celebrated the feast days that taught and reminded people of what the Lord had done. But the next generation ignored God's word, disobeyed, worshipped other gods, broke God's law in a lot of other ways as well. And what was the result of that? The result of it was that they were invaded by other nations, enslaved and killed. Ultimately, they lost the claim to the land because of that repeated promise, all because they did not honor their parents. They thought they knew better. If they'd honored their parents, they would have listened to them and believed what their parents told them. I have no doubt that generation that was so faithful in so many ways, they taught their children. Of course they did. They taught their children, and their children didn't listen. Their children chose to rebel. And the result of it was disaster. Because they didn't respect their parents enough to listen to them. And by not honoring their parents, they dishonored God. And God cursed them for it. And that shows just how important the fifth commandment is. And not just for children. The prophet Malachi, in Malachi chapter 4, he says that when the Messiah comes, one of the things he will do is turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the children to their fathers. Lest the Lord smite the earth with a curse, he says. Because the relationship between parents and children is fundamental. And when that breaks down, the survival of human civilization itself is at stake. Human civilization depends on honoring parents. Listening to those that have gone before. You are who you are. Every one of us. You are who you are because of who your parents were. Who your parents are in many, many ways. God made you who you are in large part through your parents, through their strength and through their failings. If you hate your parents, you despise your parents, you have contempt for your parents, then you have contempt for yourself, contempt for who you are, who God has made you. Even if your parents were bad people, well, not everything was bad about them. As I said before, they knew enough to stay alive long enough to have kids. If you hate them, then you have no way of telling the difference between the good and the bad. And it's easy before very long. It does not take, if you are about 9 or 10 or 12 years old, you can see your parents' failings. It does not make you particularly wise or sophisticated that you can see your parents' foolishness. That's not hard. Everybody can do that. If you live with someone else, you will see their foolishnesses. You will see their failings. And the great temptation, because of the pride that's in all of our hearts, the great temptation that children have when they start to see their parents' failings is to have contempt for them and to mock them. You must resist that temptation. If you honor your parents and have respect for them, then you can learn from their good points, even as you reject the mistakes that they made. Honoring them doesn't mean pretending that they're different people than they were. Honoring them doesn't mean idolizing them. Honoring means dealing with them in truth. Recognizing and learning from and being thankful for the good, even as you recognize the mistakes. And that means that children should obey their parents, not just out of fear, not because you're afraid of getting spanked or having your video game time taken away or something like that. And not just to butter them up and flatter them so that you can get what you want from them. You should obey your parents out of thankfulness to God for the good that He is doing for you. And that He will do in your life through your parents. You should obey your parents because you know that God is good and all that He does is good. And that includes, most crucially, the parents that He gave you. Whatever they are like, in their wisdom and in their strengths and in their foolishnesses and their mistakes as well. And you should obey your parents, therefore, because you trust God. Not because they are perfect, but because He is perfect. Of course your parents aren't perfect. The only perfect man that ever walked on the face of the earth had no children. And that wasn't an accident. Every child that's ever been raised on this planet has been raised by sinners. And that's intentional. God works all things for the good of His people, and that includes the parents He gives them. So young people, children, trust God and honor your parents and obey them. And we see then, as we have this discussion, the importance this has even for us as adults. Because it is so easy for us as adults to be bitter, resentful, and to blame our failings in life on our parents. The same thing applies, though. The fifth commandment doesn't stop applying when you turn 18 or 21 or 30. Honoring your parents, meaning those that God gave you the perfect parents that He had in mind for the plan that He had for you to make you who He wants you to be. Honoring our parents meaning knows that God did that and that we can trust Him. And therefore we can respect our parents. We can be thankful for them and learn from them, even as adults, even as we know their failings. If we respect them, then we can distinguish between their strengths and their weaknesses and learn from their strengths, even as we labor not to repeat their mistakes. If we cannot honor our parents, then we will not prosper in life. That's the promise God gives us. We have this promise in God. We will not succeed. One who is bitter towards their parents, who hates and despises his father and mother, hates and despises himself. He's at war with himself and therefore at war with the whole world. And such a one cannot truly live a prosperous and happy life. Now, I did not say that he cannot make a lot of money. Such a one in bitterness and rebellion against his parents may make a lot of money. But wisdom teaches us that money isn't the same thing as prosperity and success at all. Such a one cannot have a good relationship with God, because to despise and hate your parents is to despise and hate God's providential plan for your life. Trust God, honor your parents, learn from them, and God will bless you through that obedience that He Himself teaches us. The wise one, whether he's a child or he's an adult, will know that God's plan is always perfect and that a fundamental and huge part of that plan is the family into which you are born or adopted or find yourself in, the siblings we have or don't have, the family life we start out with, all of those circumstances of our early life that do so much to shape us and make us who we are. None of those things we decided, none of those things we chose for ourselves, God chose those things for us. And God is always doing good for us. We learn so many things from our families before we even know we're learning anything. And it is impossible to ever completely escape our childhood. And the wise man knows it. Instead, even if we grow up in terrible circumstances, as many have, we can learn that if we trust God with anything, we will have to learn to trust Him with this most fundamental and formative part of our lives. To know that He's making us who He wants us to be through our childhoods. Submit to His will for us through our parents. If you can accept this truth, and if you can trust God with who your parents are, then you will be a wise child and a wise adult. Your days will certainly be long, as Jesus says. Proverbs 29, we read, "He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Suddenly be destroyed. We have no way of knowing when that time will come. And if we're in rebellion against God's plan for our lives, we harden our neck to rebuke, we won't listen, that time will come, in God's time. Faith in God means trusting Him, trusting His plan for your life. So all this matters far more, ultimately. When we say that your days will be long, ultimately we're talking about a whole lot more about whether you're going to have a good job or whether you'll have good health and live to be 90 years old or whatever. A lot of those things aren't under our control. Those are in God's hands. The prosperity that you will have, the long life that you are promised when you trust God is eternal. Without repentance, a child that will not listen to his parents will become an adult that will not listen to God. The stiff neck, the rebellious heart that causes a child to believe that he knows better than his parents how he ought to live his life, how he ought to do things, that same stiff neck and rebellious heart won't listen to God when God exhorts him as well. The truth that Paul gives us here then points us to salvation. The salvation that comes when we trust God, when we humble ourselves and we listen to his exhortation. Trust of our earthly authority points us, trains us to heavenly trust. The heavenly trust that will truly save us. Truly give us long life on the land. Will give us eternal life. And this is not to say that keeping a commandment can save you. Of course, we're not saved by law keeping. We're saved by faith. But it does show us how the gospel changes the way we look at the commandments. God's moral principles don't become irrelevant when we're saved by faith. No, on the contrary, they become more relevant than ever. Seen in the light of the cross, all of God's commandments point us to Christ. They point us to salvation by trusting in Him. Because all of God's commandments ultimately are about this. All of God's commandments are about trusting God. And that's why conversion to Christ ultimately leads to sanctification and keeping God's commandments in every area of our lives. If I trust God with my salvation, with my eternal soul, then I will trust God with my how I use my money and how I treat my wife and how I raise my kids and how I regard my parents and everything else in my life. And this key commandment, as Paul says, this first commandment, a commandment with a promise, points us to our Heavenly Father, to honor Him and trust Him, and to know that when we trust God, when we trust our Father, eternal prosperity, eternal life will be the result of that. Once we come to faith in Christ, to trust in Him and to receive His salvation, with our eyes open to God's wisdom and our hearts filled with the Spirit, we will see that prosperity, success, and joy in life comes from trusting God and trusting who God made you. And that means being thankful for your parents, for those that went before you, for the authorities and the wise people that God has put in our lives. Our age is an age where people reject any duty or responsibility that they themselves have not freely chosen. People will divorce their wife because they say, well, she's not the same woman that I married. We've changed. We've drifted apart. Or they don't, I didn't choose to be born. I didn't choose the parents I have. Why should I have to obey them? None of us chose our parents. God chose them for us. Do we trust Him? As children, do we trust God enough to obey our parents? And as adults, do we trust Him enough not to be bitter and resentful over the failings of our parents? So children, obey your parents. Ultimately, you can't be forced to. Not after you're about age 6 or so. It's your choice. Like a lot of things, you can choose what to do. You get to choose whether to listen to the Bible or whether to go your own way. You get to choose whether to listen to the wisdom of the generations that have gone before you or to decide that you know better than everybody else who's ever lived before you. You can decide that. You can choose whether to listen to your parents or whether to listen to your friends from school or on the internet. You get to choose whether to be a thankful and joyful part of your home or a source of conflict and strife. That choice is entirely up to you. But like most things in life, while you can choose the way that you go, you don't get to choose the consequences of that decision. I can get on I-25 and I can choose to go north or I can choose to go south. But I don't get to choose the result of that. One way will take me to Sheridan, the other way will take me to Cheyenne. That's not up to me. And so, too, You can choose whether or not to obey your parents. You can choose whether or not to honor and respect your parents, to be thankful for your parents. But you will not get to choose the consequences of that decision. We can all choose. Do we trust God? Do we believe His promises? Do we believe that He works all things for our good? Or do we rebel and reject His will for our lives? Decide we're going to make our lives what we want to be. We think we know better how things ought to be than God does. It's our choice. It's up to us. The consequences of that decision are not up to us. One way leads to life and prosperity, and the other way leads to ruin. And it might not happen right away. God is merciful and patient. He doesn't often judge us immediately for our sins. He gives us time and opportunity to repent. But there's a key mistake that we make here. We think that when we are disobedient and the result is that we get some pleasure, we have a good time, we have fun, God doesn't immediately come down and smite us. We think, therefore, that He doesn't care or that He doesn't see. It is a great mistake to mistake God's patience and His long-suffering and His merciful nature, to mistake that for apathy or impotence. To think that because God is patient, that means He doesn't see or He doesn't care. And therefore, what the Bible says isn't true. But the day will come. He that hardens his heart and stiffens his neck will be destroyed suddenly, and that without remedy. God is patient and kind, and He's placed you in a Christian home with parents who love you enough to take the time and effort to teach you the truth and try and correct your faults, and that is a wonderful gift that God has given you. And it proves God's love for you. Make good use of that gift. And through your family, He's placed you in the church. Every child here has been placed in a Christian church where they hear the truth, where they have a community that will encourage them and exhort them and direct them towards the truth of God's Word. That is a great and loving gift that God has given you. Take advantage of that gift. Be wise. James says, if you lack wisdom, ask God and He'll give it to you. And there's no age limit on that. There's no sin. As soon as you're 12, then you can ask God for wisdom. No, ask God for wisdom now, young people. And with wisdom, you will see the wonderful blessings that God has given you and is working in your life. And you'll be thankful for them and embrace them and benefit from them. And you will receive the everlasting life that He has promised for His people. And there is mercy and forgiveness with God. We've all sinned against parents, against our children, against everyone else in our lives, and against God. But God is merciful. He's provided salvation for us in Jesus Christ. He's granted us forgiveness. And so it's never too late to repent and change. While there is life, there is hope. You can change course. You can embrace the good gifts that God has given you and to be thankful for them. You can be thankful for your parents and submit yourself to them in the Lord. Submitting yourself to your parents means submitting to God, accepting His rule in your life, and receiving all the good things that He has for His people. Life, joy, prosperity, peace, eternity with Him and with His people. Your days in the land will truly be long and blessed, for they will be with God. Amen. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truths that we've heard here. Lord, I pray that You'd be with the young people in the congregation, the children, that they would learn wisdom from this, learn to be thankful for their parents and to obey them. And for all of us, Lord, we thank You for teaching us that Your plan for us is perfect. And a major part of that plan is where we came from as children. Help us not to be bitter and resentful. Help us to honor our parents, not to mock or have contempt with them for their failings, but to know that You are doing good for us and have done good for us through all the circumstances of our lives. Lord, we pray that You would teach all of us wisdom and in that way bring us to that eternal life that You have reserved for all of Your people. And we pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.